You have your Bible with you, please open to Acts chapter 16. We'll read verses 6 through 10 today. Words are printed in your worship guide. They're also in the pocket in front of you. There should be a Bible there. You can turn there and read along. And I would encourage you to follow along with these words of the Word of God. And let me ask you this as you're turning there. Do you realize what a privilege you have to be able to hear this news of Jesus Christ in worship today? It is easy to come to a place like this and worship every Sunday and lose sight of this fact that God has put us in a place where we can hear this good news of Jesus Christ. It's not always that way, and we're going to see that in verses we'll read today, but it's amazing for us today to listen to. Now, remember where we're at in this book of Acts. It's the second volume of Luke's work to tell of the ministry of Jesus Christ while he was in this world, and then after he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, his ongoing ministry, the continuing work of Jesus Christ to advance his church in this world. And we're now at this point in Acts 16 where Paul, the apostle, is on his second missionary journey. He got back with Barnabas, and remember they reported back to the church in Antioch. And then at the end of 15, we notice that Paul and Barnabas went their separate ways, and Paul took Silas with him and went on a second missionary journey by the land route up into Asia Minor. And this is the very beginning of that second missionary journey. We read these words in verses 6 to 10. This is the Word of God. "And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would speak to us today by your Spirit through this word. Holy Spirit, shed light on the word today. Shed light into our hearts to teach us what we need to hear this morning. We know it's not an accident that we're here. You ordain all things that come to pass by your power and your sovereign will. And so you've got us here to listen today to what you have to tell us. Would you speak? We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Some of you may know my daughter Celine goes to Belhaven University in Jackson, Mississippi, and several weeks ago she had an accident. She was running cross country in their last meet of the year, and she was a couple of feet from the finish line, literally, and she heard a pop and fell down to the ground, and she had no idea why she fell down to the ground. They checked her out in the medical tent and took her to ER and found out that she broke her hip. And a few hours later, well, several hours later, they did surgery that night and put four pins into her hip. And she was discharged 2 days later, and she's on crutches, and she's here today, as a matter of fact. And she's on this road to recovery. And, you know, as I thought about that incident, I was thinking how thankful I am that we live when we do and in the United States of America. You know, I reflected on time that I'd spent in Haiti in the past. And I know people in Haiti, I've seen them interact with people who, if they would have had an injury like Celine's, and many of them have, broken bones, they're crippled for life. There is no medical care if you're out in the middle of Haiti. There's no immediate medical care, and there are many people that have broken limbs and they're crippled for life. I've seen people like this, experienced it, and if you don't get medical attention, you know, right away, you can suffer from these injuries the rest of their lives. As a matter of fact, there's one woman, I saw it, or I wouldn't have believed it. There's a woman in Haiti in this one part that we went to one time and found out that several years ago she had surgery to remove the petrified child that was still in her body, because 20 years earlier, this child died and went out of the womb and separated placenta and just lodged in her body, in her chest cavity, and she lived for 20 years with this lump, and they didn't know what it was until doctors came and said, "What is that?" And she says, "My baby." I mean, things like that happen in the world. There's no medical help around. You suffer through things. And it thought, isn't that amazing? So my daughter is here just because she's in America. She can get this medical help that she needs instantly, immediately, and she can help to run again. It's all because God has put us in a place that we have access to help. And really, when you consider the words that we just read in Acts chapter 16, we see that you and I have the same situation when it comes to receiving the most important help we can receive as human beings. Do you realize God has put you in this place to have access to the most important help you could have as a human being? We live in a place where there are churches preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ around us in this few-mile radius, dozens of churches preaching Jesus Christ. And we can take it for granted. We can lose sight of the fact that God gives his gospel and we're able to hear it, but that's not true for everyone. And that's what I want to notice for two things I just want you to notice from this text this morning. First, that God has sent help to mankind. And secondly, that we need to be thankful to hear of this help. So God has sent help to mankind, and we need to be thankful that we can hear about this help. First of all, notice God has sent help to mankind. Did you notice that in verses 9 and 10? Listen to what we're told about this vision that Paul had. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen that vision, immediately they sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God was telling them this to preach the gospel to them. Now notice what's happening here. After being told and directed twice earlier in verses 6 to 8 where they should not preach the gospel, we see here that God directs Paul where he should preach the gospel. And does it through this vision. It's a vision of a man crying for help. This man is from Macedonia, and he's pleading, "Come over, help us." And after this vision, they conclude that he should go preach the gospel there. Now, what I want you to know specifically is the way that the gospel preaching is described in this vision that Paul has. Notice it's described as giving help. The image is of this man in Macedonia crying out for help. You could think of it also as an image of a man who's drowning. And he's going under, he's just getting up, he's got a frantic look on his face, he's got his head above water, he's struggling, he sees someone, he says, "Help!" Cries out, he needs help, he's panicked. Or you could think of it as a man you can picture with his family, and he's got masked gunmen holding him and his family hostage, and they're being held at gunpoint, and then this man with a mask begins to beat this family, and this man sees you, you're a ways away, and he yells out to you, "Help us!" So in a similar way, we're given here this picture that Paul gets a vision of people crying out for help, and we're told that God gave this vision to Paul to prompt him to go there and preach the gospel. The gospel is the help that this man needs. This good news, that's what gospel means, is good news that is going to fulfill this man's need for help. And the image is really a good indication of the way that God tells us in the Bible what the gospel really looks like, what this message of Jesus Christ really is. What it is help for those who desperately need it. God tells us in Romans chapter 1 that the gospel is a power of God for salvation. It's the power of God to save human beings who are in desperate need. And when a person hears and believes this good news, they're rescued, they're saved, we're told, from God's curse and eternal death. They're brought from death to life. They're brought from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves. They're brought from God's curse to God's blessing. That's what every human being needs. The Bible gives us a picture of that. We're in desperate need as human beings, cut off from God, cut off from his blessings, under his curse because of our sin. And yet God has seen that need and gives us help that we need. And that's really the source of all of our problems in the world today as human beings. It comes from that source, being cut off from God in our sin. That's why there's conflict in the world. That's why nations are in conflict. That's why political parties are in conflict. That's why families are in conflict. Marriages are in conflict. And that's why we are forced to lock our doors at night. That's why we know that we can have our identity stolen. We know that we need to protect ourselves from virus on the computer. Why? Because it can be, people are doing these things. Why? Because we're in a fallen world. We're in desperate need, and it all comes from this broken relationship with God because of sin. All this conflict, danger, threats around us. But we see here that God sent help for man's need. And that help is in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's giving us here. He got an image of this from the Father. So we need to see our preaching the gospel and talking to people about the gospel, telling people the gospel in your workplace, in your homes, and wherever you go, is a way to help people with their desperate need. This is the way God has given to save fallen man, is through this message of the gospel. So that's the first important thing to notice here. Man's in desperate need. Jesus Christ is God's answer of help for that need. If you haven't ever seen that yet, if you've not come to that point of realizing your desperation, and you've not reached out to him for help that you need, then do it now. I mean, and if you're not convinced of that, recognize that you're not convinced, you have an argument with God, because God says, yes, this is your desperate need. You are in desperate need. Every human being is in desperate need because they're cut off from God because of sin. You may not feel like it today. You may feel like, well, I'm fine. Things are going well. I got a good job. Everything's running well in my life. I can do it all right. I'm okay. I don't need God, and I'm definitely not bad. I don't do bad things. So God says, no, that's not true. We're all in desperate need. We're like that man in Macedonia who's desperately needing help, and that's why God sent his son. If you want to see how bad things are, what was needed, look at what God had to do in sending his son. Went to the cross to suffer, the Son of God did, and die. And he did it for people that don't just need a little help, don't just need a little boost. We need the Son of God to die and suffer to give us the help we need. So we can thank God that he's given help that we need. But secondly, and here's the thing today I think is most pertinent for us in 2016 in Richardson, Texas. Second thing is, we need to be thankful that we can even hear this help. Notice what happens in verses 6 to 8. Notice what God does. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they'd come to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Now think about what that's saying for a second. The Holy Spirit's actually forbidding them to go somewhere and preach the gospel. Forbidding them to speak the gospel in some area. We're not told how, we're not told why. Paul might have had another vision we're not told about. God might have spoken directly. Maybe doors were just closed through God's providence. We're not told, but we are told definitely it was the Holy Spirit who was keeping them back. God forbid some people from hearing the gospel. We see it twice in this passage. He forbids them from going to Bithynia. Didn't allow them. Both places he didn't allow. Isn't that amazing? When you consider what that means. There were people. We know, if you read through the rest of the book of Acts, that eventually God did bring Paul back into Asia. Asia at that time was that place in Asia Minor where Ephesus was, and Paul went to Ephesus. They planted a church there eventually, but not now. So there were people living in Asia. Think of it. Some 70-year-old man, he's there near his deathbed. Paul doesn't preach the gospel. He's told, no, go around. The Holy Spirit does. And this man dies before Paul ever gets back to Asia. Never hears the gospel. Think about that for a minute. Why does God forbid the gospel preaching in Asia and Bithynia, specifically send, though, the gospel to Macedonia? Now, we're not told again. Is it because the people in Macedonia were more worthy? Were they better people there? I mean, some people would like to teach that. They say that, well, maybe the difference is that God reveals his gospel to people who are seeking him. And so maybe the people in Macedonia were seeking God, and so he had to get the gospel to them more quickly. But that's not really the biblical picture we get. Are they better in Macedonia than the people in Asia? Not really. And how does God work? He works by his grace, we're told. In Romans chapter 10, Paul quotes Isaiah, who says this, "I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me." Interesting. What is that to do? It's to show us how God works in this world. He says, I'm going to go where I will with my gospel, and I'm going to even go to people who are not even looking for me. And I'm going to do it to humble man and show my power and my word goes where I send it, and it will do my work. It doesn't matter who the people are. I will send it there, and I will do my work in them. It was all of God's grace. That's why we hear this gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a mystery of God's grace. He doesn't pull back the curtain for us and tell us the whys. Why does he do this in some places and not others? God's mysterious purpose of grace is all we know. So here's the point. It's God's grace that has brought the gospel to you. Do you realize that? It's God's grace that allowed you to hear this gospel. And we need to realize that's not an accident. It's not an accident that you live in the United States in 2016. It's not an accident that you are in a place where there are literally hundreds of churches, probably within a half-hour drive of your house, that are preaching this gospel every week. God surely could have caused you to live in a part of the world where you never heard it. God surely could have put you in a place where no one told you about Jesus Christ. There's someone in your life that's told you for the first time. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was at the church. Maybe it was a friend in college. Maybe it was somebody around you told you, but it was because of God's good grace for you. So here's the thing. Thank God that he's given you his gospel, because we're seeing here clearly he doesn't always do it. There are places in the world that are still dark. And we know that today. There are places where we go to unreached people groups in mission work. What is an unreached people group? No church, no Bible, no way to hear the gospel, no indigenous Christians anywhere in that area. The gospel, we send the gospel there, but there's none right now, and you and I could live in such a place, but we should need to thank God. And I would say this is a specific application I would encourage you to do. This Christmas, when you see, I know there's many times that we can see things so often it kind of gets to be old hat. You know, Jesus is the reason for the season. You'll see it, you know, on bags, grocery or bags at the store, Christian bookstore, all around. You know what? This year, when you see something like that, thank God and say, thank you, God, for giving me the gospel. Thank you, God, for telling me about this help that I desperately needed in your son. Thank you for putting me in a place where I could hear this gospel. Thank you, thank you, thank you, oh God. That should be the cry of our hearts as Christians. And the danger is, isn't it, that we often can take it for granted. We can come to a worship service, we can come to the Christmas service tonight, and we can sit through it and say, okay, I've heard this before, heard it. Listen and praise God today and tonight. And God, thank you for giving me help. Do you realize he's passed up some other people for you? I mean, it's a startling thing. Again, this text doesn't go into all the details of God's sovereignty and why he does such things, but it's for us as believers to say, thank you, Lord God. I'm one of those who was in Macedonia that you said, go to Macedonia. I'm going to give a vision to go there so these people can hear and believe. And if you're not a Christian and you're here today and you're struggling with it, or you're wrestling, or you've never believed, think about this today. Why am I hearing this? Why has God got me in this place? There are no accidents in this world. He's got you exactly where he wants you, and he's giving you exactly the message he wants you to hear. And he wants you to hear it for a reason, so you'll grab onto this Lord Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I need your life and what you give in this gospel. So this Christmas, remember, God has given you the most precious gift in his Son, and he's given you a place where you can hear it. I'm thankful that Celine is in a place that she could get this medical help immediately. And I'm thankful we're in a place that we can hear this gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would encourage you today, as you even come to the Lord's table, remember that this is another proclamation of the same gospel. We hear, as Christians, this gospel of Jesus Christ. But when we come to the table, we also see. It uses all of our senses. We see, we taste, we touch this gospel. And as we do, we're going to read it in 1 Corinthians 11. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Do you realize this is a proclamation today? When you hold that bread in your hand, when you hold that juice in your hand, you are having this message given to you in visible form. Like God could not come in a more kind and gracious manner than to give you and use all your senses to say, in front of you is the Lord, the one I've sent to help. If you're here today and you are struggling with sin, you are discouraged. And I know many of you are. You're in that place where it's just, you feel shameful, you feel you're a sinner and you know it deeply and you can't get out of it and you fight and yet you still see your sin and it drives you down. This is a place to come and say, God sent help. That's what Christmas tells us. God's help came into the world in Jesus Christ. He was born to reverse this curse that we're under, to reverse it and buy back the blessing for us through his death on the cross, as we remember today at the table. So you hold that cup in your hand, as you hold that bread, look to the Lord Jesus and thank God for what he's given. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you have done. We come to you today, Lord Jesus, and ask that you would remind us, that you would break us out of our complacency that so easily attacks us. And remind us again that we've been given a great blessing to hear your gospel. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank you for being in this place. We thank you for what you have done for sinners. In your name we pray. Amen.